Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Webcamps TV. Today we are joined by the very distinguished Jonathan Carter, with us today in the studio. Now, Jonathan, tell everybody at home what you do at Microsoft.
So I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft, and currently my focus is in the kind of data and modeling space, which is a term we use at Microsoft, which is kind of a bit ambiguous. And really what that means is I focus on the technologies, namely OData, which we'll talk about today, and also WCF Data Services, Entity Framework, and kind of anything in the kind of data programmability space.
Good. There's that ambiguity. Let's start off with destroying that. So, for example, with data services, there's a whole load of technology, WCF, ADO.NET, Data Services, Astoria, OData. Sure. Just break it down for us. Make it real simple. What does all of that mean? What should people be paying attention to?
The branding, right. Yeah, so many of you are probably aware of one of those terms, whether it's Astoria, WCF Data Services, ADO.NET Data Services. So originally, what we have today is called WCF Data Services. That used to be called ADO.NET Data Services.
Right.
And that was released back in .NET 3.5 SP1. It was originally called codename Astoria. So you really should never call it Astoria, even though we all do.
And it's hard to get rid of those code names.
It is. It's very hard. And it was renamed to WCF Data Services because of the fact that it was always built on WCF. And that just made much more sense to kind of align the WCF stack. Mm-hmm. In that with the ADO.NET Data Services branding, it made it seem like it was very database specific,
right?
Which it never was.
And we'll find this out later on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So that's a bit about, you know, what OData is and where it's come from. So let's talk about the future.
Right. Well, we didn't talk quite about what OData is, though.
Good point.
Yeah. So those three things, and this is a point of confusion for many people, including sometimes I even get confused by it. So people say, what is OData, and how is this any different than data services? And for the most part, there might not be a difference from the perspective of a .NET developer, in that we've had this thing called data services for years.
Right.
And part of that was a protocol that enabled this really great kind of data query and updating possibility.
Sure.
And eventually we realized that the protocol was so useful that we should separate it out from this framework we had in .NET so that other environments, other platforms and devices could kind of communicate using the same standard.
Sharing the love.
Exactly, sharing the love, yeah.
Cool.
And so when you think about OData as a protocol, we'll talk about that more, really WCF Data Services is just a name for the .NET implementation of that protocol.
Good point.
Yes, kind of like we have implementations of XML or, you know, other kind of standards that, you know, are greater than just our little view in .NET.
Okay.
Yeah.
So people might have been recognizing you from back in Mix when you did the keynote on OData, and this kind of stuff started to come out.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about the protocol, how it works, and how people can expect to interact with a service that's enabled with OData.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, so OData, just to make sure people kind of know, is it stands for Open Data Protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And really what it is, you know, kind of the high-level elevator pitch that we always say is that it's a web protocol for querying and updating data.
Okay.
And so we say web because it's specific to HTTP, right? We've made a commitment to that protocol. It's great. It's, you know, obviously extremely prevalent.
Just a bit.
A bit, yeah. It's arguable whether
it's getting
a trend
there
or not.
It's starting to get some adoption in the marketplace.
Yeah, I'm still pushing for SMTP to be the main thing.
Really? I was going FTP for mine, we each got our own agendas, I guess.
Yeah, we do. We have to take sides. but so it's built on top of HTTP, right? Mm-hmm. So we said this is already, there's so many great conventions there. And that HTTP itself is a query language.
Of course.
Right? And that you have the notion of a GET verb, which is the standard kind of browser request, saying, give me a query for this page at this URL. But it also has other verbs like POST, PUT, DELETE, which is kind of the other spectrum of doing updates to resources on the web. And so it's like, you know, if you're going to have kind of a data-centric or resource-oriented type service that's on the web, HTTP provides a lot of the plumbing for that stuff. And so in addition to that, OData also is built on top of Atom.
Right.
So Atom was a great format for syndication, started with blogs, but really a lot of people started using it for just data syndication of any form.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition, like a couple years after Atom, the syndication format was released, they came out with a thing called the Atom Publishing Protocol that added a couple of extensions to the syndication format that made it easier for any consumer of an Atom feed to be able to do updates and a little bit richer things.
Right.
Now, the problem, though, that we're trying to solve with OData is that while HTTP and Atom provide a lot, there's a couple of things that they don't provide in a standard way. And namely, it's query. So there's no way to go up to any kind of web-based Atom service and ask it for data that's paged by a certain way, ordered by,
yep.
Filtered by, without having to read the documentation of the specific service. And
right.
So we said, with OData, what if you had a common convention for doing any type of filter or paging or so forth?
Yep.
And then in addition, while Atom is great, you know, it's an XML-based format, and so there's a lot of clients that are JavaScript-based, or they just might want to use JSON for another reason. And so what we did with OData is we also created a JSON formatting that is a mostly high-fidelity version of the Atom formatting. Like the Atom kind of format has much more in it, but for clients that want to use JavaScript, they can consume the feed and have a much easier experience not having to parse XML and stuff.
Nice.
And then lastly is metadata, right? So one of the big things with kind of RESTful services is, you know, you don't have WSDL files like you did with SOAP, and so people kind of freak out, like, oh my God, how do I know what types there are? And
what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, it's like somebody just took away my security blanket, right. And now I'm cold.
So how do you warm up?
You warm up, well, actually that sounds, you warm up with Entity Data Model. Yeah. But so OData, part of that spec is also the Entity Data Model,
right.
Which many might know was kind of originally introduced with the Entity Framework.
Okay, so we took that concept and we kind of abstracted it away from anything .NET-centric. And
exactly,
right.
Yeah. So a lot of people think Entity Framework and EDM are the same, but really, Entity Framework is a consumer of an Entity Data Model in the context of a database.
Right.
And so it's interesting that you see Entity Data Model is now also used as a way to project metadata for an OData service.
Very good.
Which kind of starts to show a bit more use of EDM as kind of a format.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, good intro. I like it.
Yeah. So, it's a bit abstract until you kind of see it, you know, and so I'll give that pitch, and then people will be like, oh, interesting. What does any of that mean?
Now, make it real for me.
Yeah. So show me something. So, if you want, I can kind of do a little mini kind of demo of the protocol.
I think that'd be great. And where are we at right now? We're at Netflix.com. Is this an OData service for Netflix?
So we are on the World Wide Web.
This is a great place
to be. I told you we like the web.
Holy cow.
Yeah. No, so as you mentioned at Mix was kind of like the coming out party or OData.
Yep.
It had been around for a while, but we really made it an explicit thing at Mix. And also an announcement that we did there was that we worked with Netflix to expose their whole catalog. And so one of the other things with OData is it's all about, like, saying if you have interesting data, regardless what domain it is, movies, music, you know, food,
yep.
Whatever, you know, photos of your boating antics,
yep.
Then that data is probably interesting to other people. And so if you expose it in a way that is in a common format, then any developer can go and take it and mash it up and do really cool things, especially now that we're in an industry with mobile devices and applications being so widespread, that having access to that data is really cool.
Absolutely.
And so Netflix, obviously, is a great data producer. They have hundreds of thousands of movies and television series, and there's all this
good point.
Great,
so for people who aren't in the U.S., Netflix is a website, or I guess actually they send out DVDs to people as well.
Yep.
So they are a company that is like sending out DVDs, and you can log on online and get stuff streamed to your PC or your other devices.
Exactly.
So they have this huge catalog of content, right?
So. Yeah. And so if I'm some hotshot developer who's going to make the next big phone app for whichever phone that might be.
Mm-hmm. Windows Phone 7.
Windows Phone 7, most likely. or one of those secondary phones.
Yep.
And I'm like, hey, you know what? I have a great idea where I'm going to do some kind of cool mashup that says based on where you're at and what you just ate, what's a good movie that you can go crash on the couch and watch? I don't know. But I don't want to build that repository.
Hang on, let me get this idea down.
Yeah, it's already copyrighted. So how do I do that? And so Netflix being OData makes it possible, right? So let's go ahead and dig into this a bit. And so what you see here in my browser is odata.netflix.com. Anybody watching this can go to it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see is the OData feed.
But you might not see this at the beginning if you've got IE set up in a certain way, right?
That's true.
This is a gotcha. When I first went to Netflix with IE, and you said, hey, you need to go to this URL, I came across a problem. So people might want to do this.
So actually, let's do this. So IE has this nice feed reader view that will try to parse RSS or... Oh, I think I totally just... Let me open up another tab, odata.netflix.com. So it'll parse this part because it doesn't know what this is, but in a second. So what we see when we hit the root of the service is this is an Atom Publishing Protocol standard, so this has nothing to do with OData. And what this does is it tells the client, these are all of the collections of data that I have available for you to consume.
Cool.
And so in this case, it's pretty intuitive to look at it and say, okay, genres, languages, people, titles, so forth and so on. That's pretty cool.
Right. So Netflix has architected it this way to kind of get the data out in a certain way, and they can define exactly how that's presented to the developer.
Exactly. Nice. Yeah. Hopefully to be intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so in addition, you'll notice that each of these collections have a relative URL that basically tell the client how to request it. So if we look here, right here, for titles, for instance, it's basically saying to get at this collection, go to WAC titles.
Okay.
Now, the base of this is right here, right? So this is also a standard. So essentially, a client can take the base and that titles, and they now know how to actually consume that collection. So if I go, say, WAC titles, and now I'm going to do something else, because right now they'll send 500 titles at a time,
right,
which is a lot. I don't want to take a second to do. So we can page this, right? So remember one thing I said that OData has are standard conventions for doing paging, ordering, filtering. And those conventions are implemented by means of query parameters.
Right.
And so there's about 7 or 8 of these system query parameters that are conventional across services. Mm-hmm. One of them is called top. And so all these kind of system parameters, as we would call them, start with a dollar sign.
Okay.
And we do that because that way they won't clash most likely with actual query parameters you might use. We always say, we take the crappy names and you can have the good ones. So if anyone ever complains, what's the dollar sign for? It wasn't because we thought it was cool. So what I can do is I can say top 5. And now we see a couple of interesting things here. One, we just were able to control how many we got back very simply. And two, you'll notice that because we had the feed reader turned on, IE sees this and thinks it's just like any other RSS or Atom feed.
Yeah, so you might see blogs like this when you view them in RSS reader with IE.
Exactly. And so this was part of the reason why we wanted to build on top of Atom, because there's already a ton of clients that understand data in this format. And so if you think
why reinvent the wheel?
Exactly. So you think of a title and you say, okay, Atom is very much about a title and a summary. Many cases for a blog post, but in many cases, other types of data also have the notion of a title and a summary.
Right.
In this case, a film does. And so that works pretty good. Now, obviously, the other kind of additional compelling thing is that there's much more data than just title and summary. So typically, if you're a developer, you want to turn off feed reader view. That way you can kind of see behind the scenes of this, because right now I'm like, well, there's much more to this than there is.
There's a little metadata there.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and turn that back off. And this is a good little trick to know, because as James mentioned, even it fooled him. It didn't fool me, but that's besides the point. That's orthogonal to the point.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you got to use that word at least once. Yep. So if we now go back, I need to say the top 5, otherwise it'll chug for a second. And so now we're seeing Atom, right? And so what's interesting is at the very top, you see it's a feed with a series of entries, no different than any other Atom feed. And then in this case, I can collapse these, and we'll notice that we got 5. Now, if we go and look into one of these feeds, there you'll see the standard elements, title, summary, author, all that stuff. But the real compelling bits come into play when you see this collection of links, right? And links are, once again, this is an Atom syndication thing. And these are just associations, saying this entry has relationships to, in this case, awards. So these are awards that the movie got. This is the cast of this movie. This is the director. These are the genres.
Nice.
In addition to navigations, you also have the Scalar properties. So here you see this kind of properties element, which that is specific to OData. And you'll notice it's in the kind of M namespace, which is the data services metadata namespace. And within that are all of these really interesting Scalar properties we can get access to. Rating, runtime, short name, et cetera, et cetera. And so what OData really tries to do is allow you to reach into the data service and get any piece of data that you want.
Yep.
Right?
And then navigate around based on that entry that you get back.
Exactly. It's like a giant rabbit hole of data, if you will. And so in addition to top, we can do things like skip. So let's see, the top one here is Red Hot Chili Peppers, Funky Monks, whatever that is.
And one of your favorite titles.
Yeah, of course. We can say skip 10. Right, so we're doing full-blown paging, you know, horse blinders. Now the top is Meet Joe Black, another personal favorite. Not really, but... and so that's kind of paging. Now you might look at this and say, well, what about ordering? Because by default, it's going to be ordering this page by ID, which is kind of a cryptic ID, string.
Yep.
But so I can say another query option and order by... And you do have to spell it right, unfortunately.
Well, order by doesn't get translated into order by.
And so I'll say name descending.
Okay.
Right? And so now the first one we get back is Zublin Mehta, Los Angeles Philharmonic. So it's clearly a Z. That's the top one.
Makes sense. Right?
Now, this order by and the skip and this take, these are part of the OData spec. And so I knew how to do this without having any idea about the Netflix service.
That's pretty handy.
One of the value props of it, yeah. Now, people might be wondering, how did I know to say name in the order by? And the reason being is because, as I saw, all those Scalar properties, each of those are able to be targeted as part of an order or a filter.
Okay.
Right. So in addition to that, let's show a quick filter. So, like, give me a movie that you've recently seen. Or that you want to, you know, what's a movie you like in general?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, Inception.
Okay. I knew you were going to say that. But that's cool. It's a great movie. So what we can do is we want to find Inception in this giant collection of titles. And so how we can do that is using this $filter query operation.
Sure.
And we can say where the name equal to Inception. And so by doing that, once again, standard way, I now just found Inception.
Nice.
And so here we can scroll down and we can see, rating was PG-13, yada, yada. And so forth and so on. Now, it gets more interesting when we can actually, instead of doing a query, we can select a specific instance. So if we go up, the convention that OData uses is to request a specific entry. You have the name of the collection, and then in parentheses, the ID of that.
Okay.
And so in this case, the ID of this film is right here. And it's called ID, but we'll talk about how I know it's actually the key in a second.
Okay.
And so I can go up into the URL, I'll kill the query, and we can now say catalog/titles, ID this, right? And so now we get the same thing back that we just got, but we can start to dig into this actual thing.
Get down that rabbit hole.
Exactly.
You're like Alice.
Just like Alice, yeah, just like you're a teenage girl with all this data at your disposal. Yeah. And so you see all the Scalar, so I can now... Any of the Scalar properties you can add as a relative URL to the existing URL. So in this case, I can say titles ID this slash name, right? And what I get back is just the name. Now, it's still formatted in a little XML, and so if you want the raw value, there's this other convention called $value, which is like a pseudo property that just says, give me no formatting around the value of this property.
Raw data, just give me.
Exactly. Give it to me raw.
Okay.
And so here we just get plain text.
Nice.
Right? Now, in addition to Scalar, kind of the more compelling thing are those navigations.
Mm.
And so if we come down, and once again, the thing that we, one thing I want to stress is that. It seems like I'm making a lot of assumptions, like name and knowing what I can get. But this is built to be where a client can view the response of the query and then see where to go next.
I see.
So we're trying to be as hypermedia driven as possible, right?
Hypermedia driven.
Yeah. So one of the great things of web pages is that a web page has links to other pages.
Right.
And
it's the same for data.
Hypermedia, exactly. And so the idea is that when you make a query to a service and get data back, that response should tell you how to get to the next piece.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting better with that, but you know that's certainly a tenet that we want to make very possible.
Cool.
And so if you look at all these navigation properties, for instance, cast, it gives us, as you can see, a relative URL if you want to get the cast of this movie, this is how you get it. So we add WAC cast. And now we're seeing Tom Berenger, Michael Caine, yada, yada, right? So we've, within one URL, been able to reach into a giant catalog on the web and get the cast of this movie. And we could just keep going on and on, right? Because if you notice, people have awards, movies they've directed, movies they've acted in. So we could grab Leonardo DiCaprio, WAC, titles acted in, and so forth and so on. So there's a lot there. The protocol is pretty rich.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah. So in this episode, we've had a little look at some of the ways you can query a service.
Mm-hmm.
I think in future episodes, what we're going to do is look at some of the tools and tips and techniques that you would recommend, like, for example, Fiddler.
Yeah.
And then also some of the clients that are available that you can go and query this stuff really, really easily.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for spending the time, Jonathan.
Thank you.
And look forward to chatting to you more about OData next time.
Cool.